Some of the most strident voices at the Global Climate Summit in Egypt have been youth voices. Younger people are feeling the weight of inheriting a hotter world as the climate changes. We're going to talk about how kids are processing climate change and how to help them with climate anxiety. But first, we meet two students grappling with that. And we're going to start with 17-year-old Gabriel Nagel of Denver, Colorado. He first remembers learning about climate change in class as a seventh grader.
I don't think it really clicked. Like, I saw the numbers increasing on a graph, but I didn't really see how much of a crisis it really was. It wasn't actually until Boulder's Sunshine Valley Canyon fire.
The fire continues to burn west of Boulder, the Sunshine Canyon area. It's called the Sunshine Fire.
I went to my dad upstairs and told him that, like, I think something's wrong. Like, and then we looked outside, and it was this giant blaze coming over the ridge right towards us.
More than 1,000 homes were evacuated before the sun came up this morning.
I mean, we just ended up evacuating with everyone else and just getting out of there for the day. Luckily, when we returned, everything was fine. And that was a moment when it kind of clicked for me that climate change isn't something of the future. It's something that we're dealing with right now, and no matter who you are, you're going to be impacted. After that fire, I kind of had an internal feeling that I needed to do something, so I started taking personal actions like bike and public transport and eat less meat. But then I started getting involved with our sustainability club at East High School. That's where I met Mariah.
So my name is Mariah Rosenzweig. I am 18 years old. I had grown up just always being outside. I was always one of the few girls that would, like, be dirtier than all the boys. I think climate advocacy is more than just policy, but for me, it's really getting people to understand how integrated we are with the natural world, and we're not separate from it.
We tend to talk about this climate change stuff a lot, and we'll spend time going to hikes and kind of just enjoying what we have around us while it's there.
I went to a sustainability club meeting, and one of the presidents was like, hey, we have this other group called DPS Students for Climate Action. And I was immediately like, oh, this is something I want to be a part of.
So we started off and we realized DPS, which is essentially the largest school district in Colorado, they lacked any sort of climate action policy. And then we came up with this whole resolution where we outlined goals.
One of the goals is 90% reduction in greenhouse gases from 2010 levels. You know, we would meet every single week, and a lot of that was presenting at public comments.
And our first topic this evening is sustainability resolution presented by the DPS.
So a lot of times we'd put so much heart and so much passion into it.
Our first primary goal is for the district to strive to 100% clean energy by 20.
And then the board is like, thank you. Next.
Thank you so much. You can.
And it was like, oh, how much longer are we going to keep doing this?
Once again, we have with us some special guests, the Sustainability Student Group.
From start to finish, the process took almost 2 years.
Director Anderson?
Aye.
Director Balderman?
Aye.
Director Esterman?
Aye.
The policy was passed
aye.
Unanimously.
Aye.
And it was really amazing.
I know on a personal level, it sometimes feels like what I'm doing will never be enough. And part of that is true. Like, one person isn't going to be able to change the fate of this planet, of climate change.
I realize that now the conversation isn't what can we do to prevent climate change? It's how are we going to live with it? As I'm still so young, to hear that shift is frustrating because it's like we've known about this for so long.
Climate change can be incredibly overwhelming at times, and that's totally okay. It's okay to feel anxious about your future because it is a real threat, but also don't let that stop you from trying to make a change, and instead kind of use that as motivation to make the change that we need.
That was Gabriel Nagel and Mariah Rosenzweig, both students at East High School in Denver, Colorado. And joining me now for more on how kids are processing climate change is Lauren Sommer from NPR's Climate Desk. So we just heard from these two students feeling like not enough is being done. How common are these feelings?
Yeah, in general, you know, if you look at young adults, they're more likely to care about climate change. And that's true no matter what political party they belong to. And when it comes to younger school-age kids, you know, some are experiencing this climate anxiety that we heard. It's something that Dr. Kelsey Hudson, who is a clinical psychologist who specializes in climate change, she's seeing that in her patients.
Many young people are experiencing grief and frustration and anxiety and elements of kind of betrayal by adults and other generations.
And for some kids, this is kind of layering on top of the isolation and stress they may have experienced during the pandemic.
Wow. I think it is kind of hard to hear when you're 41 that they feel betrayed by us, by our generation and other generations. And climate change is in the news a lot right now with the international negotiations going on in Egypt. So if you're a parent or caregiver or even a kid feeling these emotions, what's a good way to address it?
Yeah. So Hudson says the first thing is to make some space to talk about it. But if you're a caregiver, ask what a kid knows about climate change and how it makes them feel. Listen, you know, acknowledge their feelings and validate that it's a big, difficult thing to think about. And avoid the urge to say that everything is going to be okay.
Yeah, but I can see how a caregiver might want to just tell their kid, don't worry, everything is going to be okay. What's wrong with that?
It's kind of a Band-Aid. It's not a solution. And it's a global change that will affect billions of people. And young people know that.
Yeah.
So the next step after kind of just talking about it and validating feelings is to find something meaningful, Hudson says.
We can think about what does it look like for young people or one young person to find a sense of meaning and purpose in this crisis, to maybe connect with like-minded others and build some agency through connecting with climate engagement or action.
So engagement can happen on very different levels, she says. You know, it can be just, you know, planting a pollinator-friendly flower in your backyard with a kid or maybe volunteering at a local park. What's important here is finding community, finding those social connections so that young people don't feel so isolated with these feelings.
And I'm sure getting outside, being in nature can be very helpful too in this case, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Gabe and Mariah both talked to me about how they go on walks and hikes together when they're feeling overwhelmed. And that's two strategies that psychologists recommend, you know, talking about it with someone you care about and taking some time in nature and just, you know, enjoying that space.
Lauren Sommer of NPR's Climate Desk. Thanks so much, Lauren.
Thanks.